Hello there, Vet Blast podcast listeners. Stay informed, stay inspired, and stay ahead with DVM360, the leading multimedia provider of veterinary news. From breaking industry updates to expert insights and conference coverage from leading industry conferences such as Every Fetch Conference, WVC, and VMX, DVM360 keeps you up to date with the latest and greatest in the veterinary medicine industry. Visit DVM360.com and be a part of a community that's shaping the future of veterinary medicine.
Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM360.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. Did you know that we also here at DVM360 have a wonderful group of vet student ambassadors, both in the United States and around the world, which is awesome. And I think this has been going on, I want to say, is it the third or fourth year that we've been doing it? And with me today is a wonderful vet student, future colleague of ours, Ashley Lal in the house. How are you, my friend?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us. We know what vet school life is like, and you're very busy. And I'm not going to give about too much of your bio because we're going to chat about it. You have a very wonderful history to share with us or a background to share with us. And we're also going to chat about some barriers that Ashley has been encountered and some recommendations for our profession to maybe see how we can help her as well as those that are affected by some of those barriers out. And I'm smiling because she's a New Yorker, right?
I am.
I'm from Jersey, and they're, you know, I don't want to say East Coast, best coast, but you know, we're from the East Coast. We get each other, right, Ash?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so she's a 24-year-old first generation New York born to immigrant parents from Guyana. And I want to stop there too, because let's talk to us and the listeners about that. What's that been like for you being first generation? And then a follow-up to that is, what kind of inspired you to enter this profession of vet med?
So, I mean, you know, being an immigrant, always a very hard thing. So my parents, you know, came to New York City rather with nothing, and they made a life for themselves so they can give their children a better future. And growing up with those expectations of, you know, you have to do better than we did, and being pushed from very early on into like professions that are very regarded highly in that sense, you know, ever since I was a child, my mom had always been like, oh, you need to do better. You need to do better than I did. And my mom's the nurse, but she would always wanted to be a doctor. She was like, you have to go out there, become a doctor, be something better than what I was. And, you know, as a kid, that's pretty terrifying, you know, very early on being told this is what you need to do. And there's no way around it. So there's that expectation. And then also, you know, you grow up with that different cultural identity. It's like you are what your parents' culture is, but you're also a New Yorker. You're also an American. And trying to navigate, you know, the school system and doing all of that and just being, trying to be true to yourself is kind of hard because you kind of create two different personalities for yourself, the ones that you show your parents, and then the person that, like, you are at school, really. Right. And, yeah, it's been really hard just doing that.
And you're an only child, too, right?
I am an only child. Oh, my God. That's also another really big thing that's hard for me because, you know, being an only child in a Caribbean household, in a South Asian, or even Asian in general, it's just very hard because when you're the daughter, you're expected to do so much more. You're expected to be that leader. You have to take on all of those roles. You have to take on leadership. You know, you have to know how to do so many things, cook, clean, work a job, manage a household, everything. And it's so hard and tiring sometimes.
And I know you recently wrote an article about it, I believe, for DVM360, right?
Yes, I did. I have the link that I guess you can share with everyone.
Yeah, we'll share it in the post notes as well. But
okay.
thank you for sharing that. And so, okay, so this is fantastic. And cut to where you are in vet school. So tell everyone where you're at in veterinary school. What school? We got to give them a shout out.
Did I go to University of Bristol in the United Kingdom, where actually, because most people won't know where Bristol is, so I've just been telling them it's right under Wales. If you know where Wales is,
Yes.
it's on the west side. I'm southwest England, but yeah, I'm here. I'm in my second year, what US schools would call second year. I'm in my third year in the UK standards, but yeah, that's where I'm at right now.
I love it. And was there a moment in childhood or even adulthood that said, hey, I want to be a veterinarian? Was there a specific thing that you can remember, or was it just gradual over time?
Yeah, so actually this is I do go into this in my article, but I went to Seton Hall, New Jersey, where it's a D1 school. I'm sure people are gonna know what that where that is. It's in New Jersey. But I went there as a pre-med student doing a physician assistant program. So very different from obviously veterinary med. But you know, I was pushed to that from my mom, who was a nurse. She was like, you know, go to PA school, become a PA, and then go back and get your doctor. And I got into that physician assistant program. And at that time, it was like, oh, okay, this is what I think I want to do. And I got into Seton Hall, did my first semester, and I realized, like, not with, I wasn't happy with my grades, but with that, I also wasn't happy with where my life was going. Like thinking about, you know, working in human med, you know, being in hospitals. I grew up, my mom works at a nursing home. So I grew up in that setting of like she'd always take me there whenever I couldn't go to school or whatever. And growing up in that setting and thinking about, is this what I really want to do with my life? And I realized that it wasn't. And I was actually talking to a really close friend of mine who was a close friend of mine at the time, that I wasn't really happy. I didn't see my life in human med. And he had said to me, hey, you have a bird that you never shut up about. Why haven't you considered veterinary med? And when he said that, it was like a light bulb went off in my head, and suddenly life made sense. And, you know, I think about my childhood. I used to give all of my stuffed animal vaccines. I used
Love
to
it.
run around with the stray cats outside. I used to want to pet every dog I see, even if it's barking at me and trying to bite me. I was like, oh my God, you're so cute. Like, I always found squirrels cute, raccoons, everything. Like all of these animals throughout my life, I've always, you know, felt the need to help them, be like with them, just, you know, be in their presence, stuff like that.
Yeah, I love it. That's excellent. And cut to the point where you're interested in avian medicine, right?
Yes, so I did have a son, Conyer. It's a type of parrot. He was born in 2012. He sadly passed away at the in October of 2023.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was really hard, especially because I was in England when he
Yeah.
passed away. So I it was a very dark moment of my
Yeah.
life. But when he passed, especially, it just reinforced that idea in my head that I want to be an avian vet. I want to be this person who take care of these feathered creatures. You know, we have so many doctors out there that do works in equines. We have dog, cats, but you don't really see many people advocating for our feathered friends or even our reptilian friends. You do
Yeah.
have some now that it is becoming more popular, I think, but it's still not quite there yet as it
Yeah.
is with dog and cat medicine, I feel like.
Yeah, no, I agree. You're right. And you know, here I've been in the field a long time, and it's there, but not as much as prominent as to your point. So I'm so glad that you're nurturing and building that passion early in vet school, because we need you out there. So I think that's awesome. You're gonna love it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so you know, we were talking earlier. I teased it out a little bit about barriers. We've all experienced some sort of whatever it could be, types of barrier, either physical, emotional, learning barriers. Tell the listeners a little bit about what your experience is like when with what you're going through in vet school and in life in general.
Well, one of the things I haven't mentioned that I was actually born hearing impaired. So I was born with mild to moderate severe, mild to moderate hearing loss in both ears. And that affected my life quite a bit, not being able to hear well as my peers. And, even when I was in human med and now even in animal med, I'm always scared that I'm going to miss something, especially when it comes to, auscultation and stuff like that. But I do have technology on my side. I do have an echo stethoscope that helps me with the amplification of those sounds and stuff. And then I also have a very supportive school. They provided me with Caption Ed, which is a captioning program that will turn real-time talk into words that I can see on a screen. I have professors that are willing to wear a mic that connects straight to my hearing aids. And I'm actually a bit nervous when it comes to actually getting out there into the world of veterinary med as a doctor, just because I don't know what my support staff is going to be like, just because how am I supposed to navigate that world of very fast paced, very life or death decisions? And, what if I miss something? And it's a big worry of mine, but I'm trying to, get through that and, realize that support staff and other colleagues and everything will always do their best to help me.
Right. Yeah, they will. And I thank you for sharing that, because, and big shout out to the vet school for helping and providing you with the resources and tools that you need for learning. I think that's great. But, I will say, I think what I love about our profession is that even disability aside and impairments, even I just having the support from technicians and other associates out there to get your back on anything is great. So I do think you're in a profession where we get you, we understand you. But I understand it's a very valid concern that to have to say, oh my gosh, with emergencies and whatnot. But I love that you're already actively looking for a team that will embrace you for your talents and support you on resources that you need. So but I can 100% guarantee you that they're there, they're out there for you. So I'm happy for you.
Thank
Yeah.
you.
So okay. So cut to you're almost, so you're about to be going into clinical year, which is amazing. And I'm always curious. I always say, love to ask the vet students this question too. And you don't know that I'm about to ask you this one, but it's an easy one though. What was a favorite subject that you loved in vet school course-wise? And was there one that you say, I never want to look at that ever again?
So my favorite, it's probably pharmacology, learning about the pharmacokinetics and the pharmacodynamics of all of these medications. I know, obviously, I'm not going to understand it all, but just learning how these molecules that we take work in the body and how they achieve, their desired effect is really cool to me. And it's my favorite thing. I want to just read so many articles about the new drugs that are coming out, like Librela, Solensia, like all of the stuff. I was always there reading the pamphlets, just those big pamphlets that come with it. And I go on and I go and read, just case studies and everything that they do on it. That's really my favorite thing. And then what I really don't like is parasitology, learning all the life cycles of all of these parasites and remembering what stages are infectious and not infectious. And oh my God, it was just so much because, and I think, I know that all vet schools teach it, but University of Bristol, we have a very high One Health approach. So we are very strong on all these zoonotic diseases and making sure that we are able to treat things like this, because Bristol is very much still more livestock. They have an abattoir on campus. They are the only vet school in the UK that offered an official veterinarian course, and you actually need that to work in the abattoirs themselves and be a meat inspection vet. So they are very focused on keeping those parasites and everything at bay, which is really nice, and that transferred into our course, which sucks for me because then you have to learn every parasite
Everything,
known. Yeah.
so you're going to be the package insert queen, so when a drug
Yeah.
comes.
Oh my God, yes, I am. I love doing it.
It's great. I mean, listen, we're scientists by trade now, and so when there's something that comes to market, that's what you do. You open it up and you look and see and look at the studies and area under the curve and all of that fun stuff. So, but that's great. It's always so interesting to see what you like and what you dislike. And so, where do you see yourself? Where does Dr. Ashley Lal see herself upon graduation? You coming back to the States, or what does that look like to you?
Right now my focus is coming back to the States. I have my parents still in New York City, and as with all aging parents, we always want to be there for them.
Nice.
So yeah, my current plan is going back to the States. I really do like it in England, but I have my parents there, I have my friends, everything out in the States, and at the present moment I don't really see myself staying in England, but
Yeah.
who knows what will change in a couple of years?
And I think being an only child comes with responsibilities, like you were talking about before, recorded with your parents, and you're close with them. And I think it does have responsibilities that come with it. So, I'm sure that's has to weigh on your mind about where you're going to be, practicing, right?
Yeah. And then also, England doesn't really have the demand for an avian vet. I mean, yeah, people do have pet birds here and stuff, but it's not as rampant as it is in the States, I feel like.
Right. Yeah. And my last question for you, how are your parents must be so proud of you that you're in this position. What are their thoughts on the fact that you'll be graduating soon, actually, to become a veterinarian?
Oh my God. Well, my dad, very happy. When I told him I was transitioning from human med to vet med, my dad was like, you know what? As long as you're doing what makes you happy and that you can provide for yourself the lifestyle that you want to live, then go by all means, go and do it if that's what makes you happy. So, and he loves animals. He feeds the stray cats in my neighborhood. He's been feeding pigeons for 12 years, I think.
See?
And that's great. My mom, on the other hand, she was very disappointed, when I switched from human med to vet med. And I know that she's proud of me in some sense of getting through my first year, which was incredibly hard after losing my bird. I was in a
Yes.
new country with no family, not really, close friends, no one really. And I still made it and passed my first year of vet school. And I'm in my second year, doing what I'm doing. But I know she's proud of me, and I hope that I get her validation when I graduate,
Yeah.
that I'm gonna be an amazing vet and that she's proud of me. I know my dad is, but it's always hard to get her validation as well.
Yeah, I hope so, and I'm sure she will, because it's such a difficult profession. Vet school is tough. It really is, as you know. And this is again, I like that your dad wants you to be happy. You want to be doing what you enjoy and love to do, and this is your passion. And my gosh, we need you with those birds out there. They really are such a wonderful species to have and care for. I don't know if you saw my Instagram post not that long ago. Did you see the
Yes,
cockatoo, right?
I loved it. I actually hearted it on the thing. Yeah, with the pet hospital in New Jersey, right?
Yes, at Mount Laurel Animal Hospital. And Liz Vetrana, I can always introduce you to her too. She's an exotic technician and she's phenomenal in that too, but she's huge into birds. She works specifically, get a load of this, only emergency bird and reptile, so medicine. So
Oh.
there's like that Good Samaritan that the accidentally hit by a car or a turtle, whatever. Like she's the go-to person for that. So talking about very niche but so important job for a hospital is great, because she knows how to stabilize them and get them all situated. So
Yeah,
I'll never
I
forget. I
mean,
got a funny story, because
yeah.
she was very instrumental to this, because when I was there working an ER shift, there was a peacock that got hit by a car, and I said, of course me, I'm lucky I know that they have feathers, okay? So, but again, this goes back to what we were just talking about, the power of a team, because she says, I got you, Adam. She's like, I'm gonna help you stabilize this. This is what you're gonna say to the Samaritan, and this is what we're gonna do. And it was a broken wing, and so but I learned so much from her from doing that, and the bandaging, and birds doing great. But the fact that I was talking to the owner made me feel like I know what I was really saying. No, but again, that's where Dr. Ashley could come in plays in the future there to take over that great role. So, I'm so proud of you. I really am.
Oh, thank you.
So proud of you. And where can we follow you? Are you? I know you're on Instagram. So tell the listeners if
I
they.
am. So I actually did just change my handle because I do want to represent vet in
Yeah.
it. So now it's futurevet.ashley and then JL
Okay.
because my initials are AJL, but I put Ashley in there just to, keep it unique.
Right. That's what it is. It's you can't be imitated, duplicated, or replicated.
Exactly.
Well, Ashley, thank you so much again for being on the show and all the best of
Thank
success with
you.
you in vet school. And I can't wait to refer my avian patients to you. So
Oh, yes, thank you. I appreciate it.
you're welcome. And thank you for being one of our DVM360 ambassadors. And stay in touch with us as always. And to the listeners, if you have any vet students or even pre-vet students interested in being on the show, hit me up. We love to have them on. They're our future of our profession, and we love to nurture and build those relationships early because the power of networking is so important. That your network is your net worth, is what I say.
Exactly. I
Right?
agree 1,000%.
100%. And but yeah, thank you so much for being on. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to rate the podcast as we grow, and we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast Podcast. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast Podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay possum. Awesome.